I'm telling you right now, I'm hearing something new that in the last this week. You know, we've talked about gifts revivals. We've talked about the revivals of old. But I think if there's going to be a word that describes this one, it's going to be a presence revival. It's going to be a presence revival, where the Lord, by His presence, continues to do what He's always done. Preach the gospel. Open blind eyes. Open the ears of the deaf. Cause the lame to walk, the blind to see. We're about to start having Jesus meetings. I'm not sure if he looked at our church services today, he would recognize it. And it's not that they're all bad. I'm not saying that. I thank God for the truth that's come forward in this last, all these years that we've been here. And I thank God that we've been digging down through 2,000 years of rubble, you know, religious trash, to find the original foundation stones. Of course, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And the apostles, the truth that they brought even beyond, which is the epistles, what we have, the understanding and revelation, Revelations, Ephesians, Galatians, all of them. But still, I think that if he attended even our services, and I thank God for the gifts that flowed through Pastor Dave, I do, I thank God for that. And but still, Dave himself, you know, if he was standing right here, I don't think he would disagree with this. Even though there were wonderful things, we've all seen deaf ears open, we've seen diseases healed, we've seen the lame to walk, so many things. But Dave himself would be disappointed because of those that went home that were not healed. And see, with Jesus, when we look at his meetings, it says he healed them all. He healed them all. And that's we're never going to lower that standard. That's the mark that we're pressing toward. So this morning, as I was, well, really more than this morning, the last few days, knowing this service was coming, I just pray. I've been helping. By the way, thank you all for praying for my mother. She is so much better, and she's going to be whipping wildcats before the week is out, I think. She's doing really well. And she's well enough now that she doesn't have to have someone with her all the time. She's doing good. But what I've been hearing is the passage from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, which he didn't allow me to bring my Bible up here, but you know what it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Because we're not wrestling really against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I could go on with that passage, but then also couple that with the last thing, the last, what we would say, the last half of the last chapter of Paul's writing to 2 Timothy. Right after he exhorts him not to be carried away with seeking after money, not wanting to be rich, he said, flee those things. Seek after righteousness, godliness, if I remember right, love, faith. Then he says, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. I remember Rick Renner teaching on that word, fight. Because, forgive my Oklahoma pronunciation of Greek words. But it's something like agonizomai or something like that. It's where we get our word agony. And it's referring to the gym, working out like for the Olympics. And Pastor Bronk, you know, in his 40s, by the way, Pastor Bronk won the weightlifting championship of Immokalee. And all of those youngsters, young Turks that were there 20-some-odd years old, they were laughing at Grandpa down there working out, you know. He not only beat them all, he beat them all so bad they've never had that competition again in that town. That's a truth. But listening to Brock a few weeks ago, he was talking about working out. He says, now, you can maintain without the burn, but you can't increase without the burn. If you don't go beyond where you've been before to the point it's painful the next day. You didn't grow, you just maintained. agonize my fight, Timothy. He's already told him in this letter, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Paul knew this was it. He knew he was going on. And in the very last half of the last chapter, of the last letter, that the Apostle Paul, passing the torch to his protege, Timothy, you fight. You fight the good fight of faith. And I don't mean shadow box. You fight till there's agony. You fight till nothing in you wants to pray anymore. Nothing in you wants to fast anymore. Nothing in you wants to love anymore, if you'll allow me. Nothing in you wants to pursue those things anymore. Fight! Timothy! Church! I've never seen the like of weak, kneed, milk, toast, panty, waist pastors in my life, is what comes out in Charisma magazine right now. And I'm not against any of that. I'm not against charisma or anything. But where is the fight? Where is the fight? And it's not a matter of just, what do you think about Trump? It's not just even a matter of the election in this country. The same fight is going on in New Zealand. But it is. It's going on the same thing there, trying to push us. There's a spirit, see? There's a spirit behind this. And as I was praying, I kept seeing this map come up in my mind. I kept seeing this map of Europe. And I don't see, yes, Derek's there. Okay, if we can put that up on the screen. So I gave him short notice, like 10 or 15 minutes before the service. I kept seeing a map like this in my mind, and I had to search a little bit to find it. What this is the right at the beginning of December, 1941. The dark red is the part that Germany had completely conquered already at that point. And the lighter orangey red is Mussolini from Italy and what they had conquered. And then that dark green showing going over into Russia is where they were actively fighting right then, trying, they're going to conquer Russia. But I kept seeing that map basically of Europe, and it doesn't even show what was going on in Northern Africa and other places, you know. The only blue that you see there, which represents eventually would become the Allied nations. But at this point, we're not in the war. Not at December 1st. 7 days later, we were. 7 days after this map was Pearl Harbor. But at this moment, Britain, Great Britain, had no ally. None. They are alone. Standing against. Now, it's not just Hitler and Mussolini and their types that they were standing against. They were fighting. It was a natural war, but it was also a spiritual war. You can take that down now. I think we're done with the screen. It was a natural war. See, what is the spirit? See, Hitler would be dead within a few decades no matter what. Whether they won, whether they lost. Mussolini, by natural course, he would have been dead 10, 20, 30 years later. But the spirit that was behind all of that would have remained. Well, let's talk about that spirit. We wrestle not, our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. What about that spirit that was working through Hitler, that was working through Mussolini? What do we know about that demonic spirit, that principality that was trying to take over? I'll tell you one thing we know for sure. It hated the Jews. It hated God's people. And had they been successful, those camps would have continued. That spirit wanted to absolutely rid the earth of every Jew. And I'm telling you, that spirit today would still do that. Don't think it's dead. It's alive and well. And that spirit today not only wants to rid the earth of the Jews, it wants to rid the earth of you, Christian. That spirit is after you. And that's the spirit that we're contending with in this nation, New Zealand, Hong Kong, other places around the world, Australia. I mean, there is a battle between light and dark, righteousness and sin, God or the devil. And we're in a war, whether you like it or not. Fight. Agonize in prayer. Fight. We will not give up. I will not surrender. Yes, sir. So you remember that map. You saw, I saw it up there, how the only part of Europe really, well, that was, you know, Spain had not fallen, but they were not later on part of the Allied forces. The only real resistance in that map, if you remember, was Britain. And Winston Churchill got up and gave us a speech, and I just got part of it here, because it looked hopeless. I mean, Hitler was and Mussolini, they were spreading so fast. It was like a juggernaut. Whole countries would fall in a day. It was just amazing how fast they were taking over. And if you're in Britain, you're just there, you know, you're going, oh my goodness, we're next. God raised up a man, rough around the edges, smoked cigars. Language was somewhat coarse. You may not have liked him. You may not have, but God raised up a man who said this: "We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields. We will fight in the streets. We will fight in the hills. We will never surrender. And I'm not willing to surrender this nation to the same spirit that wants to overthrow everything that is godly and holy. I'm not willing. I will fight to my last breath. Right now, I feel like England. There's a tiny, I feel like the tiniest little bit where the believers are hanging on and it looks bad and looks like we've lost. Well, it's not the first time in history it's looked like that. But I'll tell you one thing, people that don't remember history are doomed to repeat it. I'm telling you, we will fight in the prayer closet. We will fight in our fastings. We will fight in our worship. We will fight making confessions. And we will fight with our very last breath. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, at least not yet. Get the understand. We say it with me. I will not surrender. I will not surrender. I will fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Fight for the unborn. Fight for the unborn. Fight for the unborn, says the Lord. Do not surrender to the evil. And he's calling it evil that is attacking this land. Fight for the unborn. Ora sindele breco mandalike frotei. I'm calling for a people that will not surrender. I'm calling for a people that has grit. I'm calling for a people that will fight the good fight of faith and not surrender. 10,000, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Do not surrender, says the Lord. From that amike. I'm speaking to you around the world. I'm New Zealand, Australia, Hong Kong, probably many places that I don't know about. This spirit is trying to take over the world. That spirit is trying to drive God out like it always has. He still wants to ascend above the throne of God. He's still, it's the same spirit trying to do the same thing. We are in his way. Do not capitulate to the enemy. In one of the prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, it says, do not concede. Do not speak against the election. Do not speak against the confessions. Do not speak against the confessions for Pastor Dave. Do not concede. But everything, if you're going to watch the news, the secular news right now, everything is designed to weaken you. It's all false reports. It's all, I hear, I want it to be him and not me. You just don't even know how mad I am. Attack my mother. You think that's an accident when we're in a war for our country? It's really not our country, really, either. It's a war for God's kingdom. See, this is really a war between two kingdoms. It really is. I don't want things to go back to the way they were before COVID. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go back to powerless churches, including ours. I don't want to go back to powerless Gary or no anointing when I pray. I don't even want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to, quote, normal. Jesus doesn't believe in normal unless you're healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. Now that's normal. It's good preaching right there, lady. Hallelujah. I'm mad. I'm angry. I think about my own father in World War II. Oh, it so reminds me of what Jesus said. If you leave houses, lands, wife, brethren, children. It's exactly what every soldier had to do in World War II. Exactly what they had to do. Go and fight in another world, another halfway around the world. Thank God our soldiers are in Germany. But they were not of Germany. More and more I'm understanding we are in this world. But we are not of this world. The devil's not. It's so interesting to me that last chapter that Paul wrote to Timothy. He warned him about those that run after riches. That old enemy. For the love of money. Not the money itself. The love of money is the root of all evil. And his last admonition. He talks about those that run after wealth and how they tried with many trials and so forth. He says, flee those things, Timothy. That's becoming part of the world. Now listen, God has no money moving. God has money. God has no problem moving money. Dave used to tell us all the time, God has no problem with bringing the money into your hands. The problem God has is finding a heart that money doesn't have. Dave would say, usually by the, most of them, they, many Christians start out with good intentions. I want to make a lot of money to give into the gospel. But it's a war there too, you know, it's not usually easy. And Dave would phrase it this way, and I can't improve on it. He said, so usually by the time they made the money had made them. I still see that happening today. But I'm telling you, in these last days, God is raising up a different kind of army. Don't think we're going back to normal. We're not going to go back to normal. God is going to raise up people that command money with the fruit of their lips. They're going to command money like Jesus commanded. However they commanded that fish to bring that tax money to be the first fish that Peter caught. Come on. God commands the money. Amen? We're going to learn how to operate as spiritual beings sent from heaven, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and how to function in this world. We should not be afraid of that spirit. That spirit needs to be afraid of us. But he'll never be afraid of us if we don't fight. And learn to fight. And learn to stand. And not compromise. Not in any realm. Again, I see the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I need to learn their Hebrew names because those are their slave names. Nebuchadnezzar had put up that idol. Everybody's supposed to worship it. Said, if you don't bow down and worship this idol, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. And their answer was so perfect. Because Nebuchadnezzar said, and who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand? And they said, our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. But they didn't stop there. The next sentence, And our God will deliver us out of your hands. And they're saying, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, we're not going to bow. If you don't throw us in the fiery furnace, we're not going to bow. Telling you right now, we are not going to bow. We are not going to surrender. I say it again, we will fight them in the prayer closet. We will fight them in the fastings. We will fight them in the worship. We will fight them with our confessions. We will fight them with the very love of Christ. Yes, sir. But I hear right now, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. The biggest enemy to the church in that first century, the biggest enemy, single person, was Saul of Tarsus. It says he was breathing out slaughters against the church. He had letters from those in Jerusalem to go arrest Christians and bring them back. Some of them were scourged. Some of them were actually put to death. Thank God for Stephen, though. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, who didn't do anything wrong. He didn't steal. He didn't murder. He didn't do anything wrong. All he did was be a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders. It's humble enough to serve the widows. Humble enough. Would you serve the widows to start, Stephen? Yes, I will. Humble enough to do that. Went on to have signs and wonders and a great work. So that spirit had to snuff him out. Stephen was in the way. Stephen had to be snuffed out. So Saul of Tarsus is there agreeing with this. Whether he actually had him arrested, I can't prove, but I know it says he was standing there. And Stephen did not back down one inch. If you want to hear a defiant message, right in front of your accusers, I mean, Stephen read them the riot act. You declare yourselves, you're the sons of those that killed the prophets. God didn't back down one inch. They stone him to death. And as those rocks are hitting him, I can't imagine the thoughts that would go through your mind. You know, we don't really know if Stephen was married or not, whether he had children or not. I'm trying to put myself there, meditate. If it was me, I'd be going, I'm never going to see Sue again. I'm never going to get to hug my daughters, my grandchildren. I'll never get to see my little great-granddaughter, Briley Mae. And I didn't do anything wrong. See, I pray my heart becomes like Stephen's was. Who, instead of calling down fire from heaven to consume him, with his last breath, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Boy, that loosed heaven. That loosed heaven to go after Saul of Tarsus. So God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. How did he repay the greatest enemy of the church when God took vengeance on him? He got him born again. Got him filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. No wonder Jesus tells us, pray for our enemies. Hardest thing in the world for me to do. I'm talking about some political figures that are in power. That in the natural, Gary, not only would I not walk across the street to spit on them if they were on fire, I might take a little can of gasoline with me. In the natural. But he commanded me a month or two ago to start praying for them. And I mean by name. And I couldn't even find the words to start. I could not find the words. It was so... See, and as long as I have that position, I'm not useful in the kingdom. But I finally began to understand. He kept showing me Saul of Tarsus. Saul thought he was doing the right thing. Saul thought he was honoring God and serving God by stamping out this heresy of Christianity. He had no idea that he was actually fighting against God. See, these people, and not just these people, keep it worldwide, New Zealand, Hong Kong, everywhere. I'll tell you right now, that same spirit is alive and well in China. It's alive and well in China. Just within the last month, I saw an article where they've passed a new thing there, however they pass stuff. But if your church does not worship communism as God, they're closing you down. Don't tell me politics don't make a difference. They do too. Now, Christianity will still thrive, don't get me wrong. But he had me praying for these people. And I began to pray for... See, conviction is not going to work. They need a Damascus Road experience. I mean, they need something that's going to slap them down off their high horse, open their eyes to see the true Jesus. And I believe that when that happens, they will say the same thing as Saul of Tarsus. He was the worst enemy at the time. Who are you, Lord? And then once they find out it's Jesus, what would you have me do? What if those enemies that I could list, and you already know probably in America who I would list, what if all of those became the greatest workers for the gospel? And I'm telling you it's possible. I'm telling you it's possible. Don't tell me it's not. Anybody that sees Jesus the way he is in the book of Revelation, with that wide hair and those eyes of flame and the everything that it says about him, don't tell me that. John fell down at his feet like he was dead, and John knew Jesus. John was, we call him, he's the one Jesus turned his own mother over to take care of her till she died. When John saw the risen Christ, those people, if we will really pray for them, ask the Lord about this, but he's having me do it by name. And my flesh still recoils a lot. It just shows you how undead I am. But by name, I'm not going to mention any of them. The first one is a her. That's enough. That's enough. Several hymns follow. And I literally say, Lord, same thing in other nations, same thing. I say, Lord, I call her and the other ones. He has me do them one at a time. It takes a while. And it's not by rote, but I finally found out how to pray for them. Lord, they need to see you. Lord, they need a Damascus Road experience. They need, Father, I forgive them with whatever authority that I have here on planet Earth that you've given me. I forgive them. I'm encouraging the whole church to pray like Stephen prayed. Lord, lay not these sins to their charge. It is the spirit behind them that we're warring against. And when God takes vengeance on the sinner, at least in Saul's life, how did he do it? Got him born again. Got him filled with the Holy Ghost. Raised him up to be the most prolific writer that we have in the New Testament, saving maybe Luke. But I don't know that anyway. I've often thought, what would it be like if that list of names, which is about 10 to 12, I think, and there's many more that just, you know, you can... But that 10 to 12 that he specifically put on my heart, how would America change if those 10 or 12 really became servants of the Most High God with the authority they carry and the power that they wield? Fight the good fight of faith. Do not surrender. Do not capitulate. I still have hopes in me, even before the first of the year, and especially before January 20th, that things could still turn. But even if they do, if we go in the fire, if we do not go in the fire, we will not bow. Whether you call it socialism, communism, whatever it is you want to call it, we will not bow. We will not bow. And even if after January 20th, and I'm not prophesying, I have no idea, I still have hope. I haven't missed a day, by the way, on our confessions, on the election, those special confessions. And I have two other prayers that I pray. And I haven't missed a day yet, no matter what's been going on with my mama. And I still, Sue can tell you, I'm still getting lots of prayer time because we're in the fight. We're in the fight. I don't want to say anything. I'll just say it again. Whether we go in the fire, I'm talking January 20th, whether we go in the fire, whether we don't go in the fire, we will not bow. Amen. This is the week before Friday's the new year, right? Is the church, as far as I know, the church is going to be open Wednesday for prayer. So it will be. And Friday, I don't know, no Friday. Wednesday, church, those of you that are here, those of you that are hearing this message, and even if you're in another country, boy, that's our corporate prayer day, the last corporate prayer day here in Tulsa that we have before the first of the year. If there was ever a day, if you can separate yourself for corporate prayer, I want to do everything I can to be here. Whether I'm here or whether I'm not, you better know I'm going to be praying during that time. Richard, this is totally unexpected. You need to sing, Richard. Can you come? Yeah, I mean now. He's like, is he serious? I actually saw it before the service. And then I saw it again. Richard, by the way, is one of the most anointed vessels. I don't know if most of you may know this. Many of you may not. Do you know when he comes up here to sing, you're listening to a dead man? He died once. I don't know if you know that. And Hazel, his wife, raised him from the dead. Now, I know it was Jesus, but it was through Hazel. Raised him. And he has a gift and an anointing. And all I know is, brother, sing, preach, cast out devils, whatever.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Think about it. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid in the time of trouble? Now, y'all know we're going through a lot of trouble. In the time of trouble, he will hide us. In the time of trouble, he will hide us. In the time of trouble, He will hide us in his pavilion. In the meantime, I will wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I will wait on the Lord and be of good courage. The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I feel? I'm gonna wait on the Lord and be of good courage. The Lord is my helper. I know sometimes it gets a little rough, and I know sometimes we can be discouraged, but don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. No matter what we go through, no matter what we face, the Lord said he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. Do y'all believe that? No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, the Lord is always with you. He's right there with you. Just keep your mind on him. Keep your hearts on him. Continue to pray. Continue to fast. Continue to stay in the word. Hallelujah. And as you do that, he's going to protect you. Hallelujah. He might attack. The enemy might attack somebody else, but he won't attack you. Hallelujah. So that's been my prayer. That's what I'm believing for. That's what I know that God is able to do. God is able to do more and exceedingly above that which we ask or think. Yes, we're going through a hard time, but it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. God said he would always be with us. In the time of trouble, he will protect us. In the time of trouble, he will protect us. In the time of trouble, he will protect us. He is a man of his word. Hallelujah. God is a man of his word. Hallelujah. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Thank you, Jesus. I'm encouraged. What about you? You encouraged? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep me in your prayers.
Was that perfect or what? Glory to God. There was another map that I saw this morning. And it was the whole world, and it was dark. And normally I'm looking at the United States, you know, because that's where we live. But this one, what I was seeing this morning was the other half of the world. And there was not a single light. It was complete darkness, you know. I could make out the continents, and I knew where Africa was. I knew where Europe was. But there was absolutely dark. See, we just celebrated Christmas 2 days ago. We don't know exactly what day he was born. They're not even exactly sure what year he was born, within about 3 years. But thank God he was born. Because first I was seeing that map of Europe and how it had to look pretty hopeless for Britain. But see, I was looking at that worldwide map, not a single light. And then all of a sudden, there was one dot of light in Bethlehem. Unto us a child is born, but a son was given. Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. But he said to those that would come after him, those that would follow him into the new birth, he said, "You are the light of the world." That's because the light has lit us. He has lit our candle with his own life. And it's time we started acting like the sons of God that we really are. You talk about hopeless. One single dot. One. It looked hopeless for Britain. But that's not nearly as overpowering as it was for the Christ when he was born. One single light in an entire world of darkness. I don't want to misquote that, Lord, can I? One of the pieces of the armor is to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That peace, not only is it part of the gospel where we tell it's possible for you to have peace with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but as a soldier, it's the peace we're supposed to walk in, no matter what's going on around us. And so I was hearing John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now notice, in the world you shall have tribulation. Every kind of trouble, every kind of persecution, everything that the devil can throw at you. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He never surrendered. He never tempered the truth, watered down the truth, just to keep them from hating him. He spoke the truth in love. If you want to see the truth speaking in love, read Matthew 23:24. Man. And he did it publicly in the temple in front of the people. That's the message that got him killed, if you'll allow me. That's after that, they made up their mind. We're that spirit in them, really. That spirit, we're ridding the planet of this. And again, I think there, if there's such a thing, I know demons aren't really literally in hell yet. They will be cast into the lake of fire, but they're somewhere in the heavenlies somewhere. I know there was dancing and partying when the Son of God was on the cross. And when he died, I know they thought they had won. Even the devil thought he'd won. Until 3 days later. Well, right now, it looks like the devil is winning. But I'm telling you, it is not over. Now, our job is to stay in peace. Right in the midst of the tribulation, we are to stay in peace. And that, if you back up in that same chapter, he doesn't let me prepare like I used to, and that's okay. Oh, there it is. John 16:2. In the context, this is what he meant. In the world, you'll have tribulation. He wasn't really talking about sickness and earthquakes and that type of thing. Here's what he's talking about. John 16:2. They shall put you out of the... There, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Here, we're going to close your church down. Yeah. The time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God service. Is that not Saul of Tarsus? That is exactly Saul of Tarsus. Thought he was serving God while killing the very saints of God. And he said, these things they do because they have not known the Father nor me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I think this is... my I thinks don't matter much anymore, you know. I'm just doing my best to follow, and I kept seeing this. Come on now. One of the last prophecies, one of the last instructions. See, when God doesn't give you new instructions, what do? You keep doing the last ones that he gave you. And one of the instructions he gave us, and he hasn't said anything different that I know. We're not to the first of the year yet. He said, hold fast to the confessions. So let's do this. You can repeat after me. Father, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of this election. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, spirit of confusion. I command that you silence your tongue and cease your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. I come against every principality, power and ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies that would present a stronghold against the man God knows should be elected. I speak to you and command you, you spirit of confusion, be cast out now in Jesus' name. Jesus has given to me the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now you want me to obey God, right? Say this after me. Say this, you'll like it. Father, right now, we lift up every leader in every nation that thinks they know you, but they don't know you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, lay not their sins to their charge. Father, with all we know how, we forgive them, we loose them and let them go. Now, Father, take vengeance on every one of them. The same way you did on Saul of Tarsus. Hallelujah. 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 Took him a while to get me to understand how to pray. So repeat after me. None of your plans for interfering with this election will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers and devils. He made an open show of you, triumphed over you for all eternity. He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in this election. Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils. Your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in blindness, and division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouth like fire. And may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all of those who are trying to interfere with and alter the outcome of the election. May confusion fill their camps. as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elijah the plans of the Syrian army. Expose the plans of the ungodly who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day. And drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up prayer in the Spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us your perfect will concerning the outcome you desire for this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say, the government of this nation rests on you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. And may every fraudulent vote be discarded. Father, this battle is not ours. It is yours. You are with us. God, we praise you and we worship you. Your mercy endureth forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. Now let's praise him for some victory. Hallelujah! Glory, glory! Hallelujah! We praise you. We glorify you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We will not fear. We will not fear. We will not give up. We will not quit. We will not surrender. We will fight in the prayer closet. We will fight with fastings. We will fight with worship. We will fight with confession. We will never surrender. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Victory in the camp. There's victory in the house. I wish I had a shofar right now. Ta-do! Ta-da! Shofar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pronda la mi que cayendo telebreco. Pronda la mi que cayendo telebreco. Go ahead and start playing softly, please. Andarebreco marandarique. Yes, sir. Now listen to me. Listen to me, church, and listen to me out there. Pronda la mi que. I don't care if it's today or 10 years from today. If you don't know Jesus, now is the time to know Jesus. I know pretty much everybody here. I know you already know the Lord, but boys, is he reaching out to you today? I don't care. Listen, you're looking at a guy that backslid till he was 33 years old. I didn't even know if God would take me back again. But even in the Old Testament, he says, oh, backsliding Israel, just confess the truth, repent of your sins, and I will receive you as a father does his child. Listen, Jesus made the way with his own perfect life. But he got on the cross in our place. He died for you. He died for me. He shed his blood to pay the price for the sin that I committed. It's not too late if you've never known him. Or if you want to return to him today. Just say this prayer with me and we can repeat it. Father, please forgive me. I have sinned. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Please wash away every sin. I have faith in His finished work. I believe in my heart that You've raised Him from the dead. And from this day forward, Jesus, what would You have me do? You are the Lord of my life. I surrender completely to You. Then pray this prayer. Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. The promise was not just to them, but it was to them, their children, and to all that are afar off. And that was to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Father, fill me right now. I surrender to Your Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus, You baptized me in the Holy Ghost and fire. And I expect to speak with other tongues right now. Now let's join those just for a moment. It won't sound like ours. You'll have your own. Let those sounds come out. It won't make sense. It's not supposed to you. But you're praying to God. You're letting the Holy Spirit make perfect intercession through you. You're declaring the glory of God in a lost and fallen world. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Friend, in my name, those that believe will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. No weapon really formed against them will prosper, even if you drink something deadly. It's not going to kill you. Now don't put him to a test. That's if they try and kill you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will hold up your hands. If you got, say it with me. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I lay hands on the sick. And they recover. I lay hands on the sick. And they recover. Somebody right now, and I've been where you are. You think you can't be free of alcohol. Yes, you can. Christ in you is bigger than alcohol. Christ, His nature empowers you to say no to your flesh. And to live godly, righteously, and soberly in this present world. Save. It starts with the lips. He said, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. No matter what it feels like, say this. I know the truth. And the Son has set me free. I am free from alcohol. I'm free from pornography. I'm free from the love of money. I'm free from everything that the Bible calls sin. And I am a child of God. Now, I'm telling you, in believers' meetings like this, the days of lines have pretty much come to an end now. We'll still do it for a little while. But once He gives the command, time for you to step to the other side of the green line. You are a minister of God now. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost that lives in any minister lives in you. And you're part of the army now. You're part of the army. Yes, sir. Dave would get alerts in his spirit about the movements of the enemy. You old timers will remember it's like suddenly right in the middle or right at the end of a service, he'd say something like this. You need to draw your family in. You need to pray for everything that moves. Because the enemy is furious. If there was ever a time now. Yes, sir. I heard it again. If you're playing with sin, your life may be in danger where we're going. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. When the power is poured out like it was in the first century, judgment comes with it. Now stop playing with sin. Repent and get right with God today. And I mean your not only your eternal life, but I mean your physical life. Repent today, whatever it is. You already know what it is. If he's talking to you, you know what it is. Hallelujah. Brando tedique. Frore ki taramataro ki kando. I just want to encourage you again. Wednesday is the last opportunity we have before the first of the year to gather together as a church and make intercession. And I know many have to work and have other obligations and can't come. But if you can, I'm going to do my best to be here. Wednesday, 12 to noon, it's open. See, well, I can't come to all of that. Come to what you can come to. Join your faith with the rest of us. I still feel a hesitation. There's a wave of healing coming to the very temple of God. Whether it's about attacking your ears, your eyes, your nerves, your digestive system, even if it's got a name that they've put on it, there is a name that is above every other name. And it's time for the body of Christ to be healed. And I mean not only spiritually, but in this time where he's really drawing us in to him. Your body is his bride. Do you remember that? We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And he nourishes and cherishes his own flesh the same way a husband does his bride. Just raise your hand with me. I'm Gary too. Whether it's backs. Lord, I receive your healing. This temple is made whole. This body is strong. This body is pain free. I can see and I can hear. I thank you, Lord, that this is a vessel that you can inhabit. And that you love it and you cherish it. And you fix anything that's wrong with it. So it'll be useful in your kingdom. I present this body to you. Holy and acceptable for your purpose. Live in this body, Lord. It is yours. And that brings us right back around to Stacy's worship, the last song. You are mine, and I am yours. Hallelujah. Amazing. Okay. So critical. I keep hearing this week is so critical. Pray. Pray whether you can come here, whether you're not. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit make intercession. Only the Holy Spirit is smart enough and powerful enough to do this. But pray. 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 And then after that, pray. Father, I still feel your presence so strong, Lord. I'm not going to make anything up, though. It's important that you pray for your loved ones, even those that don't know him at all, or those that know him just a tiny bit. In this season, in total war, there are no limits. And the enemy is, there's no rules of engagement in total war. It's kill or be killed. No mercy. He'll go after your loved ones, like he's gone after my mama, physically. We're going to learn more about how to umbrella his presence around them that don't know him, so that they'll be safe. But no, be wise as serpents, be harmless as doves, but do it the way Jesus did it. Never water down the truth. Never back down telling the truth in love. And overcome the world the same way he did. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for what you've done here today. Yes, sir. I declare healing. I just declare it because I hear it. I declare healing in every single vessel in this house. And I don't care what it is. It's not me, it's him. I declare healing in Jesus' name. I don't care what it is in your body. I hear addictions are being broken today. Addictions. That's addictions. Healing in your body. And addictions broken today. In the name of Jesus. He's already paid for it. And it is done. He's already taken the stripes. And by his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Father. Framers of our Constitution, one of them said, give me liberty or give me death. In me right now, it's give us revival or give me death. I cannot go back to the way it was. We cannot. I don't want it to go back to that. Give us revival or just bring us home. Now, he's not the one holding it back, but that's that level. That same level of commitment's got to be in us. Father, give us revival. And if you're not going to go with us, don't send us, Lord. But he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. He is with us. Hallelujah. Okay. Say it with me. I was born for such a time as this. I am so glad to be in the war. I am so glad to be a soldier in God's army. And I will fight the good fight of faith. And we shall have victory. And we shall have revival. In Jesus' name, amen.